Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. This is Jim West with Carolina Varsity Radio. We're going to talk about the Week 7 scoreboard update. And with me is Alan Drum. Alan, how are you doing tonight?
All right, pretty good. Got over a late inning tonight, but, you know, you can kind of expect that when it's homecoming games.
Oh, yeah, you got that right. Sometimes you just – those things take forever and ever and ever. They throw all kinds of stuff around there. And, you know, it's not that much longer. I think it's, what, maybe 3 to 5 more minutes than a regular half, but halftime, mm-hmm. but it just seems like it takes forever. All right,
yeah,
we're going to go over – Go ahead,
Ann.
Go ahead.
Yeah, definitely. But unfortunately, I have to go to 3 straight next week is Maidens in North Lincoln, so I'm going to be getting pretty used to the 20-minute halftime.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, we're going to go over the top 25 in the 1A first. Tarbor all over Jones Sr., 61-0. Murphy, they beat Andrews 49-24. That score was 49-10 going into the fourth quarter. Andrews scored a couple meaningless touchdowns then. Number 3, Holmes was idle. Number 4, Mitchell was idle. Number 5, Mount Airy was idle. Number 6, East Wilkes, they keep on winning. They beat West Wilkes 60-13. Alan, I know you were a big fan of West Wilkes. That says something a lot about East Wilkes. What do you think?
Well, East Wilkes, I'm telling you, they've beaten 2 previously undefeated teams. East Wilkes, they're around that state title contentions, but they're going to have to deal with some other good teams in that area. Mitchell is another good team. But East Wilkes, they're looking pretty daggum tough. Probably the best team in that area.
I agree with you on that. That's a solid team. When it comes down to it, like they're to me, they're the best in that conference. Although Wilkes Central might have something to say about it in that whole that general area, I think, is between them and Mitchell. Number 7, North Rowan, they beat South Stanley tonight, 20-19. That is a close score. If you asked me before this game, I'd take North Rowan by 4 touchdowns, and they beat them by 1 point. That shows you how dumb I am, Alan. What's your thoughts about North Rowan barely scrapping by South Stanley?
Well, I'm not. I mean, I'm kind of surprised and kind of not. I've not bought North Rowan too much this year, but the way how down 1A is, but that surprising type of score, I am very shocked with.
Yeah, it really is. Oh, Alan, I was going to ask you a question. This just. Just out of general thoughts here, how good of a singer are you, right? Are you a pretty good singer?
I'm pretty daggum terrible, but I know my music pretty good.
Okay, I was going to say, you remember this song that goes, well, you can tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man, no time to talk. Music loud and woman warm, I've been kicked around since I was born. Now it's all right, it's okay, and you may look the other way. We can try to understand the New York Times effect on man. Whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother, you're staying alive, staying alive. Feel the city breaking every day, shaking, and we're staying alive, staying alive. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It's that's what a lot of the high school football teams right now are looking at. Some of them are going into the conference play. Some of
them, you talking about the Bee Gees song?
Yeah, the Bee Gees song. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know the
Bees.
That's my top of music.
Oh my gosh, Alan, you're scaring me here. You're a lot younger than I am. You weren't even born when that song came out. That song came out in the 70s.
Well, when you had dad that raised you on 80s rock and 70s, a class of 1980, you get that type of music in you, and it runs through your blood.
That explains it. I don't know what my parents played. But anyway, that's kind of what that staying alive thing, though, is kind of what a lot of teams are looking at right now. And with 1A, I think it's really, really the case. There's a lot of teams right now that are struggling in 1A because, you know, a lot of times they're having to play their non-conference games. They're playing the big teams in 2As and 3As, so getting beaten up here. And the reason I say that, Cherokee all over Swain, 45-7. I knew Cherokee was a good game. Yeah, exactly. I knew Cherokee was going to play a great game against Swain. I did not expect that score. This is a game, this is a series that Swing usually wins, I'm going to say probably 6 out of every 7 games they win in this series, or maybe 7 out of 8. This might be the biggest loss Swing's ever had against Cherokee.
I'll actually look it up for 77 probably in a few minutes. I won't have the end of the show, but I remember them Swain County Maiden battles back in the late 90s, early 2000s. I'm so surprised,
right,
Dagum, Swain County is back down this year.
Yeah, same here, same here. Number 9, North Deepland, they beat Granville Central 28-0. My alma mater, North Stanley, beats Chatham Central 58-26. Number 11, Bessemer City over Highland Tech 49-13. East Carteret, number 12, they beat Croatan 48-30. Number 13, Thomas Jefferson, got to give a shout out to Daniel Camp. He's a Carolina varsity correspondent for us. They beat Pine Lake Prep 40-8. Thomas Jefferson is Daniel's alma mater. Number 14, Mountain Island Charter. They're not looking like the hype that they had at the beginning of the season. They beat Union Academy 28-21.
Ooh, that was close
enough, though. Yeah, I thought Mountain Island Charter, if they're really a true number 10 team or 8 team or 7 or something like that, they'd win by more than a 7-point score. Number 15, West Montgomery, they beat South Davison 56-0. Number 16, Lakewood, was idle. Number 17 goes down. 17 goes down. Southside loses tonight to Pamlico 29-22. I don't know about you, Alan, but I got Pamlico going back into the top 25. How about you?
I don't usually do one hand, but when you beat a 17, I definitely, you know, I would put them in.
Yeah. Number 18, Northampton County. They had a pretty good lead over North Edgecombe, and North Edgecombe came back. But it was a little bit too little too late. Northampton County wins 32-24. We've already talked about number 19, Swain County, going down. Number 20, Polk, goes down also. East Rutherford, which is a good 2A team, they beat Polk 25-7. I thought East Rutherford to win this game. I was thinking, you know, maybe 10, 12 points. 25-7 is not out of the realm of possibilities. East Rutherford,
you,
I think this game says more
East
about
Rutherford.
East Rutherford
needed that win big time.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I've noticed that they've been on that Carolina varsity bubble team range. East, that is a good win for the Cavaliers.
I agree. I totally agree. Number 21, Manio, was idle. Number 22, East Surrey, was idle. Number 23, Princeton, goes down. Number 23 again, Princeton, goes down. They played a 3A team tonight. They played Swansboro. Swansboro won 53-50. You know, going into that game, I thought Princeton would maybe win by a little. You know, when you, after you get outside about the number 15, 16 for me in 1A, it's really hard to rank the last 10 teams or so.
Oh,
Princeton might go out, but it's hard to throw them out when they only lose by 3 points to a 3A school. So we'll see one here. But number 24 goes down, and I will say that they will go out of my 1A top 25. Riverside Martin loses. They lose to South Creek 26-25. I will check, make sure that score is right, because that kind of surprised me. I got that from Max Preps, or maybe not Max Preps. I think maybe it was High School Overtime. I always like to look at the different websites and see who's done what, but that kind of surprised me, to be honest with you. That score is correct. I'll say that was one of the big shockers for me. Will Harrell is a darn good coach. He took over from Grantley Mazzell back in 2016. They struggled last year, and I thought they would be better. And beating Riverside, that is a statement win. So I'm happy for Will Harrell. He's a good fellow, and I think that program is going in the right direction. And number 25, Robbinsville, they beat Rosman 38-12.
According to this, on Max Preps, the game was actually played on September 4th.
They played two different times. They played them twice.
Last time I was checking on Max Preps, Riverside beat them by 30. And if they won that game, that is a shocker.
Yeah, it really is. That's why I want to double check that, because that's just let you know that there's several series that they actually play twice during the year. Columbia and Creswell, they've played twice since like 1975.
Yeah, I know Bessemer City and Cherville also does, too.
Yeah, and Riverside and South Creek's done it ever since those two schools were created. Riverside's the old Williamston High School, and and basically the old Jamesville High School went to them, and Beargrass Charter used to be a Beargrass High School, now it's a charter school. But anyway, through some consolidations, there's Riverside and South Creek. I can't remember what year it was. It's been like the last 7 or 8 years or so.
Uh-huh.
But we're going to look at 2A next. This is Jim West and Alan Drum. We're with Carolina Varsity. We're going over the Week 7 scoreboard update. Number 1, South Point, 35, Ashbrook, 13. South Point keeps on rolling. That's a good win. Ashbrook's a fine team. Number 2, North Eastern, they beat Central Virginia Disciples 49-22. Couldn't tell you anything about Central Virginia Disciples, but Northeastern's a legitimate team here.
Central Virginia actually played Newton Conover tough last year.
Okay, that's right. I forgot about that. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, East Duplin, all over Spring Creek, 81-6. And we're talking about a running clock probably all of the second half, and they still got it up to 81 points. Sometimes it's just hard not to just fall on the ball. And I never criticize a coach when a score gets like that. Very few teams run up the score. Sometimes these things just happen. Number 4, Shelby, was idle. I think they probably needed a week off just to regroup. Number 5, Reidsville. They beat High Point Andrews 60-20. High Point Andrews is struggling this year. They're in that Pac-7 conference, and I think Randleman's probably the best team in that conference, but we'll talk about that later on. Number 6, Wallace Rose Hill, all over Midway, 53-6. Number 7, North Davison, 52, West Davison, 0. North Davison just keeps on rolling. West Davison, I've seen them play, and they look little. They're small. They're scrappy, though. But a team like North Davison just blows them out there. Number 8, High Brighton's idle. Number 9, Franklin. They play Carolina Wildcats, 54-0. And, Alan, I understand the Carolina Wildcats had exactly 11 players. And I don't know if that's true. I do not have that confirmed. But when you have only 11 players, it's just about impossible to play a game. Do you agree with that?
I agree. I remember that they I don't know how big the game was in the first quarter, but I remember North Lincoln put like 42 in week two against the Carolina Wildcats. And to me, I don't understand why you even field a team if you just got 11 guys and you're going to get basically destroyed every week.
Right. It's, you know, sometimes it's you always wonder about that, but sometimes, you know, it might have been something flickish happened. But and I just went back on high school OT, and they do have South Creek winning that game 26-25.
Wow.
And Alan, just kind of give you a little inside scoop. Last year, during the regular season, this is in two-way land, Holmes plays Northeastern. Holmes gets blown out by Northeastern. I mean, it was like it might have been a running clock.
Uh-huh.
And these two teams meet again, Northeastern and Holmes, in the playoffs, and in the small 2A. And who wins? Edenton Holmes does. Sometimes those things happen. So, but I will say these two teams will not play a third time. Riverside will go in the big 1A, and South Creek will be small 1A. So interesting times here. Number 10, Mountain Heritage. Number 10, Mountain Heritage was idle. Number 11, South Columbus, all over St. Paul's, 49-13. Number 12, South Granville. I've seen this team play, and South Granville, to me, is probably right there on the cusp of the top 10. They beat Southern Vance 51-6. Number 13, Newton Conover. you might know a little bit about this game. Beat
Bandits
55.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I heard a little bit about this game.
Tell me about it.
Newton Conover won 56-7. I was going to go to this game, but last minute I actually changed and went to Baden and West Lincoln. I heard on the radio that Newton Conover scored on 6 out of 8 possessions. Newton Conover just completely dominated the game. But if you're looking like, hey, Newton Conover is that impressive, think again. Bandys was playing without J.T. Culliver and still without their starting quarterback, Logan Hernacki, Lake Hernacki. I'm not used to those type of names, but Newton Conover, impressive win. But we'll get more of a clear view how Newton Conover, how greatly they are against a very scrappy West Lincoln team tonight.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a – I think Denton Conover has definitely shown that they're a solid team that's definitely, you know, worthy of the top 15 in the 2A. Going down a little bit, number 14, East Bladen, all over West Columbus, 47-0. And number 15, Maiden, plays West Lincoln. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that game?
Well, we had a 7-7 tie at halftime. West Lincoln drove into the red zone 4 times, only scored once. Maiden threw 2 interceptions, also a fumble. Very both poor on offense on both sides tonight in the first half. Maiden jumps out to a 27 lead and was able to hold on with 6 minutes left and finish the game winning 27-13.
What's your feeling about West Lincoln?
West Lincoln, that is probably the best West Lincoln team I have ever saw, and that is the same team I've seen back in the 2012, I believe, that made the playoffs against Hunter Huss. This has to be the best West Lincoln team I've ever seen. Very scrappy bunch. A lot of missed calls tonight on my behalf, but I could say on both sides. But West Lincoln, they play tough, and I wish them boys luck. Hopefully they'll make a playoff berth. I see them actually not finishing in the bottom of that conference now. They are a scrappy bunch.
Number 16, Wyville. They played Fairmont, beat them 58-16. Roanoke Rapids, all over Webb, 42-8. Roanoke Rapids is a darn good team, so I was happy to see that. Number 18, East Montgomery was idle. Number 19, Southwest, Edgecombe, all over Currituck, 54-21. Randleman, all over Providence Grove, 49-7. Randleman is the real deal. That's a good team there. Number 21, Hendersonville was idle. Number 22, Mount Pleasant was idle. Number 23, North Surrey, they go into they play Walkertown, and they beat them 51-6. Not really much to say about that. Walkertown is really struggling this year. I think that moving up the 2A is a hard thing. And sometimes, you know, going up in classification is a hard thing to do. Number 24, Nash Central was idle. Number 25, Clinton was idle. So in 2A, there's just not there wasn't a lot of games. I was looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams in the top 25 were idle. And some of you might say, well, why is that the case? I was looking at it in the 1A, there were 6 teams idle. With teams that are in 6-team conferences, they don't start conference play until week 8. And a lot of times what they do is they play the first 6 games during the first 6 weeks, and then they take a bye week on week 7, so they're fresh and they get to play those 5 teams in their conference starting from week 8 through week 12. So a lot of idle games here.
Also,
we'll go to 3A next.
Also, Jim, before we get to 3, I do want to point out the Northwest Foothills 2A. They have a weird schedule. What they do, they have only 6 teams in each conference games, and what they do, they have a bye week starting in their conference play, so that's why Highbrighton was idle tonight.
Right. They play in those conferences, they start conference play in week 6, and they play through week 12. And since there's only six opponents in a 17-team conference, you have to take a bye week. So that's a very good point, Talon. Going to 3A, here is a shocker, thunder shocker. Number one, Dudley goes down. They lose to Southwest Guilford, who we do not even have listed in the top 25. Southwest Guilford wins this game 34-6.
That is a
statement win. Yeah, they're in. I'm going to tell you right now, that was, one thing is an upset, but this one, Southwest Guilford dominated that game. It was 20-0, I believe, at one time. Then I saw it was 27-6. And then the final score, 34-6. They dismantled Dudley. I did not think anybody would score 34 points against Dudley.
All I got to say, I am thanking my lucky star. In 2A, there is no Guilford or Forsyth County team in 2A West.
Yeah. Exactly right. So that's going to be a shocker. I think number two, Charlotte Catholic, will be the next number one team. They beat Weddington 42-6 on Thursday night. Weddington's a good team. Weddington is ranked actually number 12 in our top 25. Weddington will drop. They will drop significantly. I don't think they'll stay in the top 25, but they will drop. Number three, New Hanover, all over Topsail, 49-0. New Hanover, they'll go big 3A, and they might now be one of the favorites. They were one of the favorites, but they might be the biggest favorite in the 3AA right now. Another team that will be up there, Cape Fear, they beat Douglas Byrd 52-0. Cape Fear is number four in the 3A. Number five, Havelock was idle. Number six, Southern Nash was idle. Number seven, A.C. Reynolds, they beat Tuscola 37-0 on Thursday. And number eight, Marvin Ridge, they beat Monroe 51-7 on Thursday. Monroe was a 2A team.
Monroe's a 3A. They went 3A this year.
Yeah, I'm talking about last year, 2016.
Yeah, they went
2A
last year.
Yeah, they were, and to be honest with you, they were 1A at one time from 2009
to
2012.
They went from
1A
to 2A to 3A.
Right. And they won a state championship in 2015, I believe. And they're struggling big time this year. They've lost to Marvin Ridge. They've lost to to Vance 55-0. They're losing games big time here, and I don't see the bleeding stopping anytime soon. I believe they lost to Charlotte Catholic last week.
But the good news for them, they have played a very tough schedule, and Max Preps is going to give them a big ranking over that. So see the Red Hawks in the playoffs.
Oh, they will. They'll definitely be a playoff team, at least in my opinion. Number nine, Conley was idle. Number 10, Lee County, they keep on beating teams. They beat Cummings 56-0. This is like the fourth or fifth shutout this season for Lee County. It's got a great defense. Lee County might actually go up higher, at least on my ballot. Number 11, Jacksonville, all over Hertford County, 72-30. Number 13, Clayton was idle. Number 14, Western Alamance, they beat Moorhead 49-0. Western Alamance, they haven't really had much competition as of this week or as of this part of the season. I think their big showdown will have to be against Eastern Alamance, and we'll see what happens there. There are a couple other good teams in that conference, like Northeast Guilford. I believe we'll talk about this in a little bit, but I think Northeast Guilford beat Northern Guilford tonight. I think they beat them 10-6. I might be wrong about that, but we'll check. Number 15, Crest, they beat Stuart Kramer 40-13. That's a good win for them. Stuart Kramer's no slouches at all.
Oh, I agree.
Let's see here. Number 16, Hillside was idle. 17, Kings Mountain. You're a big Kings Mountain fan.
Well, I'm not a big fan. I have bought into this team. since they had that close encounter with Shelby, and Shelby only losing the south point of Rock Hill 25-0, I really like how Kings Mountain's doing. They got a really nice fan base down there. I've been there a couple years ago when they played High Brighton. Very very spread out facility. It needs some upgrades, but I'm telling you, very friendly confines, and I wish them best of luck at 3A this year. They're for real.
Hey, I think we've got a friend on here. Hey, this is Jim West and Alan Drum. Is this Gary?
That's correct. This is Gary.
Gary, how are you doing today?
Good. How about you?
Doing pretty good. We got you on the radio show. Alan told me that you'd be calling in. I just double-checked, and I saw your line was on there. What game did you go to tonight?
I went to Moore's One Huff game. I left after it was about two minutes and something left in the third quarter, and I left after Huff went up 35-3. But I noticed Moore's was star quarterback was not in, and they had somebody they brought up. I don't even think it was even their backup. So, it wasn't close at all. Moore's was got, some work to do, but they're down this year, you can say. So, yes, I don't know what the final was. You know, I haven't seen the final yet. So,
I was going to check on there right now, and I'm with you. I'm going to look at see what I'll do. I'll also check on the Twitter feed and see if we got anything on that. The other teams in your area, I was trying to remember if I saw any Iredell County scores. Was South Iredell on bye this week?
Yes, they will have states for next week, and they'll be at South Iredell. That's a big one, and that could well be for the conference and all. I think Statesville has one loss, and South has two losses. One to Mooresville, they lost by 1 point. Then they lost not too bad of a game. I'm trying to think of one they played last week. But
West Forsyth.
Yeah, West Forsyth, that's it, yeah. And they hung in there until they was down one score in the fourth quarter until West Forsyth pulled it out, 28-13. So I think from my understanding, South is getting better each week. So, but with the Statesville game, it's less like I tell other people, South can't sleep on them. You know, they've improved. Statesville's improved a whole lot from last year. So,
Brian.
And I look for that to be a big game. So, yes.
I was looking on the feed, North Iredell, they lost to Northwest Cabarrus. I think the score was 48-0.
That's
correct. You're from that area, I take it. What's your thoughts about North Iredell? Maybe 4 or 5 years ago, North Iredell actually won like maybe 7 games or so.
Yes, but for some reason or another, they just been on a drought. They haven't won in a couple years a game. So my thinking is probably about the best chance they may have. Maybe get somebody like Carson or something like that, or maybe they may can catch maybe East Rowan on a off night or something, and maybe can maybe pull out a win over that. But they're just really down, so they need to I guess time will tell how the rest of the season will go for them and all. So.
Right.
But North Iredell, they're really down, and they just I figure probably their best chance would probably be against Carson at this point if they do win a game.
Mm-hmm.
And, looking at that area, North Iredell, I believe, was created in 1966 along with South Iredell. South Iredell,
yes.
I remember, was the, Troutman area. And that Troutman had they had some decent teams, but they were in the old Western North Carolina High School Athletic Association, and a lot of times they just didn't have the numbers to compete, year after year. But they could, they would beat a Mooresville, they'd beat a Davie County team,
yes.
But they wouldn't win, wouldn't win championships. But they were a team that you just could not take lightly. And South Iredell, to me, of all the Iredell County schools, they've been by far better than North Iredell or West Iredell over the years. And
I'm talking about West Iredell tonight. West Iredell actually got their fourth win of the season. They're 4-3. They beat East Burke 28-13, I believe.
Wow, that's a good victory right there. I know East
mm-hmm.
Burke is down, but you know, West Iredell, there were several years. I mean, it seemed like a couple of years in the last 4 or 5 years they went winless. Gary, what's you're in that area. West Iredell, I believe, was created in 73 or 74. They've struggled for the most time in their history. What do you think, if you were a head coach, how would you turn that program around?
I don't really know at this point what to say about them. It may take some time for them to, you know, maybe establish maybe some more talent and all. Since they moved them down to a lower classification, you know, 2A and all, they seem to be doing better and all. Again, that's just one of them things. It may take a couple of years for them. Maybe they'll start building up and all. And but yeah, that back in the 80s, West Iredell, you know, had some pretty good seasons, and just kind of like it had up and down and all. But they're seemingly be doing maybe a little bit better this year than you know, the last couple of years, the way that I'm seeing it. So we'll see,
right.
You know, how the rest of the year will go for them, you know, when they get this conference started and all. So, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I just checked, and Huff won 45-10 over Mooresville.
Okay. And I had seen Mallard Creek, if this is right, score 134-3 over Lake Norman, so I will throw that
in
there.
That's correct. I'll tell you what, I'm going to keep you all on the line together here. I'll just go over some of the rest of the 3A scores. Let's see here. Mount Tabor beat Western Guilford 56-0. Mount Tabor, that's one of Fred Gailey's teams that he's really impressed with. So that's they keep on winning. A.R. Brown was idle. Freedom, number 20 Freedom, they hung on there and beat Hickory 35-30. Hickory is a scrappy little bunch. Hickory is 3-3, but they have not been blown out this whole season, and that's a lot better.
Yeah, and Hickory actually had the ball and getting ready to take the lead in that game, and they actually had a fumble. That's how Freedom was able to build that double-digit lead and hold on to win.
Yep, Jim Bob Bryant. He is a very good coach. You know, sometimes a coach like Jim Bob Bryant just makes the difference in those big games. Number 21, Eastern Guilford, they beat Southwestern Randolph 53-0. Number 22, Southeast Guilford was idle. Number 23, Eastern Alamance, they beat Jordan Matthews 42-7. Number 24, Watauga goes down. Alexander Central beats Watauga 38-33. And I'm gonna have to look at Alexander Central. They might make my top 25. I don't know. They might be the favorite in that conference.
Believe Freedom will still take that conference.
You do? Okay.
But I won't be surprised with this, too. I wouldn't be surprised Hickory's in the running for second or third place. Hickory is a scrappy bunch, and I'm telling you, the boys, they can beat Watauga or Alexander Central.
Right. Number 25, Sun Valley, they beat Parkwood 61-13. I'm going to go up to the 4A here. Wake Forest, number one, was idle. Number two, Gary just gave that score. Mallard Creek beat Lake Norman 34-3. You know, Lake Norman, that's probably not a bad score. They lost to West Charlotte last week. Gary, you know much about Lake Norman? They seem to be really down. I thought they would maybe
they
third
are,
or fourth best.
Going into that game, going into that game, they had one win, and I honestly thought that Mallard Creek would just go in and run over them. Of course, I wasn't at that game, but to be honest, I thought that was, you know, pretty respectable. Just, you know, that, you know, have a score like that, 34-3 against a team like that. You know, you only got one win. That's not bad at all. And I think I understood it was 14-3 at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
So not too bad, you can say.
Now, Gary, did you see Lake Norman earlier this season, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, I went to watch South Iredell play against Lake Norman, yes. Mm-hmm. They
mm-hmm.
were playing at South, yes.
How did they look overall?
Well, they I didn't see – they didn't have a little bit of passing, I guess you can say. South did pretty good shutting their running down, but
mm-hmm.
wasn't a whole lot of passing.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell they were just, you know, down from last year and all. So,
oh, yeah, definitely.
Definitely, yes. And South did a good job. I thought stopping the run from time to time, you know, Lake Norman
mm-hmm.
would get, you know, some sideline passes on them and all. So,
cool.
But it could be that maybe, you know, Lake Norman is maybe a team that's in progress. Perhaps maybe they're getting better as the season goes on.
I agree.
I don't know. But, yeah. And I look for them to, you know, maybe next year they should start rebounding and getting better. You know, from time to time you're going to have a down season, you know, a dry season like, you know,
mm-hmm.
some other teams like Moores was having this year. So it's just one of those years, you know.
Oh, I agree.
You know, going into the preseason, I did all those way too early conference predictions, and I had Mallard Creek at number one, I had Vance at number two, I had Huff at number three, number four I had Lake Norman, and number five
mm-hmm.
I had North Mech, number six I had Mooresville, number seven I had West Charlotte, number eight I had Hopewell. Now, I think I got number one right, and I got number eight right. Number two, Vance, is probably right, but you don't know. But 3-7 is a jumbled-up mess. You know, West Charlotte's they're better than I thought they would be. North Mech might be the second-best team in that conference. They could beat Vance. They might be favored over Vance. So that IMEC is and Gary – correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the IMAC might be a little bit down this year. To me, it seems like Mallard Creek and some teams, North Mech is having a good season, but it seems like teams like Huff and Vance are underperforming. Mooresville and Lake Norman are kind of like rebuilding, and West
mm-hmm.
Charlotte's still down, but, you know, they're better.
I would agree
with
you on that, yes. And you could have, like, probably third through six or seven, whatever, and they could probably win on any given night, you know. I would have thought at this point. Well, I got to looking at some of the teams that Huff played, you know, they only lost to Harding, I believe, by 2 points. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's a Providence. I think they lost a close one. So they're really not a bad team, you can say, but they got a real good quarterback. And I was just telling somebody tonight when I was at the game, it wouldn't surprise me that they could probably take somebody like North Mech. That's just my opinion.
Oh, I agree. North Mech, I believe, is not as good as their record performs.
Considering,
you know,
what I understood, Mooresville went in the red zone a couple different times. Now, if they could have turned them into the points, you know, it could have been a whole different ball game, you know, if they could have scored. But they just kind of shot themselves with turnovers and penalties and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. North Mech, there's several different schools of thoughts about how good North Mech is, and the thing is, I tell people when they beat a team that's in the top 25, I'll buy into them. Right now, I think they deserve to be in the top 25, but I'm not betting them very high in the top 25. So,
I agree.
See what happens with that. I'm going to go down the scoreboard here a little bit. Number three, Scotland, they beat Purnell Sweat 57-20. Number four, Heritage is idle. I want to tell you right now, that last game of the season between Wake Forest and Heritage might be the best game the whole season in the whole state of North Carolina. Those two teams might be the best two teams in the state. So keep an eye on Wake Forest and Heritage. Number five, West Forsyth, they beat Northwest Guilford 42-23. Number six, Harding, they beat Providence. Providence is ranked number 16. They beat them 46-23. That's a statement win right there. I love statement wins. That's a good one there. Number seven, Butler, they finally found their offense. They beat Porter Ridge on Thursday night 40-7. Glad for Brian Hills. He's a class act, good man, fine fellow. Enjoy talking to him. Just a real neat fellow. Number eight, Hoggard, they beat Laney 44-13. Myers Park, this is a team that kind of always scratched my head, and I'm also scratching the head to the team they beat. They beat Rocky River 21-0. I'm still waiting for that Myers Park win where I go, wow. Yeah, I had Myers Park at the beginning of the season like in the top five or six, and I still think they're definitely a top ten, or right now they're a top ten team, but I'm still waiting for that thing where you see a good-looking lady and you have to turn your head real fast. I want to see one of those wins that make me turn my head back and say, wow. Now, going back on this, Rocky River has a pretty good defense. They held Butler to 16 points. They've held some teams, done some good, had some good games. I think they beat they lost to Vance in overtime, like 30-27. So I'm going off memory here, so I'm probably wrong, but I knew it was a close one. I'm going down the list here. Number 10, Cardinal Gibbons over in Raleigh. They beat Riverside 31-9. Number 11 played number 13. Number 11 was East Forsyth. Number 13 was Page. And East Forsyth had a 19-6 lead, but they did not hold on. Page wins 20-19. Sometimes there's some programs that seem like they're buried to win, and then they just something happens, and seems like every year East Forsyth has a game or two that's like that. I remember one time they were up pretty big on Providence. They're up by like 18 points, and next thing you know, Providence scores three touchdowns, and East Forsyth's going home for the playoffs. Not trying to pick on that program; it's a good coach program, but sometimes things like that happen. Number 12, West Meck, they played Ardrick Hill on Thursday night, beat them 21-7. Number 14, Glenn, this was a head-scratcher. Ragsdale, they played Ragsdale. The week before, Ragsdale barely beat a 1A team. They beat East Surrey, I think it was like 34-33. I think they won that game. Pretty sure they won that game, 34-33. This week they played number 14 Glenn, 4A school. Glenn wins, but they only win 19-13. This was a close game. So
that's a shocker. I thought Glenn was a lot better than that.
Yeah, I do too. Glenn, you know, the thing is with 4A though, 4A is diluted this year. You only have 77 teams in 4A.
Uh-huh.
A lot of those really good 3A teams would. They were 4A last year, and they would be in the top 25 right now if it wasn't for this 20-30-20 realignment. So we'll see what happens. Number 15, Hickory Ridge, they beat Geringer 45-0. Number 17, Southview, they had this big lead on Pine Forest. I think it was like, I want to say like 18 points at one time. And next thing you know, Pine Forest was up 31-30. But Southview came back, and they won the game 36-31. Southview keeps on – they're undefeated. And they're in my top 25 ballot. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
We have them here at 17. I think I have mine in my ballot around 20. I'm still looking for one of those wins that makes me turn my head, and I haven't seen one yet. I'm not picking on Southview because they keep on winning, but still doing a wait and see here. Now, here's a team, 71st. They beat Hoke County 62-0. I think in the beginning of the season, the 71st, I think they lost to, like, maybe Terry Sanford or something, or I can't remember what team it was, but they had one loss that kind of made me scratch my head. But, you know, they're a good team. They beat Hoke County today 62-0. Number 19, Vance, they beat Hopewell 47-0. I don't know if Hopewell scored more than – I don't think they've been in double digits yet in scoring this whole season in the aggregate.
Mm-hmm.
They've been shut out about five or six times. that's a program that, and I tell people, you know, they're like, they'll say a coach that loses team game after game after game, and they say, well, you know, you don't make excuses for the coach, but I want to tell you right now, if you don't have a good administration, somebody that's going to back up the coach, you're basically giving the, you know, pointing the loaded gun at the coach's head. And Hopewell is a hard place to win. It's same thing with Gehringer. Gehringer's hard to win. Hickory Ridge, you know, beat Gehringer 45-0. And it's tough. You know, we talked a little bit ago about North Mac. They beat West Charlotte 19-6. West Charlotte might be a little bit better than we give them credit for. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see West Charlotte come back. You remember Mo Collins? He was a head coach there a while back.
Oh, rest in peace. Former Oakland Raider.
He, what was he, like 38 years old, 39 years old when he died?
Yeah, sad thing. Death. He played in the NFL for the Oakland Raiders. I believe he played in the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken.
Like 2002 Super Bowl, I think.
Yeah, against Tampa Bay, because I play 2K, and they have him on there, so I remember him.
Oh. Yeah, going down to the list here, let's see, Richmond, they beat Pinecrest 28-7. Pinecrest is ranked 25 in our poll. Gary, I'm going to ask you about this. I know over the years you've probably seen Richmond quite a bit. When you hear Richmond Raiders, what goes through your mind?
I think about they were real good back in the late 80s, early 90s, they, you know, whether, you know, they've had pretty good seasons alone, but they've gone, they've been down some of these last couple years or so. Not sure why, but, you know, they've had some good teams, you know, even some state championship, you know, I think about, I believe it's around about 89, 90, so, along that line, you know, I think they did win a state champion, if I'm wrong, you know, correct me.
Mm-hmm.
But,
they did.
And
right.
So, you know, they're here last year or two, it seems like they've fell off for, you know, whatever reason.
Yeah, I agree. It's, you know what they've gone through with Richmond. You had a coach like Hoggart. He won a state championship in 2008. And
mm-hmm.
So then you have Hoggard leaves and goes to Holmes after the 2014 season. You have a new coach there for a couple of years. He gets frustrated, or maybe not frustrated, but the it doesn't work out.
But that
he
is
still
a big
wins
win.
Nine,
they
ten
had
games.
Nine, I agree.
And anyway, we'll see what happens with Richmond. That's a big thing there. Sanderson, number 23, Sanderson beats Leesville Road 20-17. And 24, South Central, they beat Southern Wayne 63-6. Alan, what do you think about South Central? I think they're a very good team. What do you think?
Oh, I'm definitely moving them up. That type of win, yeah, those are the teams you need to move up. You know, with Providence losing, they're going to be gaining some ground. A couple teams losing there in the 4A, I believe they should move up, definitely.
Yeah, I agree on that. Guys, I was going to ask you, we're going to do an open session here. We've got about 10 minutes left. Want to see what your thoughts about any other games in your area. Alan, I'll start with you. Any games that you want to talk about that was played?
Well, I was very surprised how close Drawn and Patton was. Patton made my list last week in the top 25 in 2A, and Patton only beating Drawn, I'm having second thoughts about that and, you know, moving them out of the top 25. Also, I was very shocked how close Freedom and Hickory was. I had Freedom winning that game like by 28, I believe. Freedom, it shows how good Stone has made Hickory this year. Hickory, they're a very good team. But I do want to congratulate West Iredale again for winning their fourth game, and possible they could actually win a fifth game against Buckreel later on in the season.
That's right. Let's go real quick here. I'm gonna go down some scores. See if we have anything that's really shocking here. Let me refresh this. You know, every so often you have to refresh this stuff. See if there's any new games that come up. Jack Britt beat Lumberton 30-24. You know, that's not really a shocker. Let's see here. Fuquay Varina, they beat Harnett Central 26-14.
Put them in the top 25 because I had them there last week.
Yeah.
That's one team you need to look for, Jim. I put them at 25 last week with Providence and Pinecrest losing. That's one team you might consider for the 4A ballot.
I agree. I totally agree. And you know what I saw earlier on? I said 40-7 again. Butler and Porter Ridge. Max Preps is showing 40-17. So I will have to check on that. I think Kinston beat Green Central 42-26. I think I saw that score earlier on. I'm gonna stop real quick, Gary. What any games that you want to talk about? That any scores that you can think of?
I noticed if this score is right, Concord beat Barry 42-20, I believe. I was thought that that would have been a closer game than what it was, but it sounded like, you know, Concord had a breakout night with, you know, winning that kind of margin. So, you know, after a loss to West Rand last week, it sounds like, you know, maybe the coach, you know, has got them going this week and all. So I was pretty impressed with that score. And
let's see. Astle,
of course, I thought that the
go ahead, Gary. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
I thought that the Northwest Cabarrus and North Iredale would have been closer. I think I gave that by about 14, 17 points, but it's like 48-0. So, but I think the Northwest Cabarrus is no slouch this year. They're doing real good. So, you know, they may be a team to watch as the season goes on, you know, as they, you know, start getting close to the playoffs. We'll see, you know, we'll see how they do and all, but they're no slouch. And I know North Iredale's down, but 48-0 is really not a bad score, you know, considered. But
I'll tell you
anyway,
right now, though,
with
Northwest Cabarrus, though, do not be surprised if they finish second in that conference of theirs, that South
yes,
Piedmont Conference.
Yes, it wouldn't surprise me at all, yes.
Mm-hmm. I think A.L. Brown's going to win that, but number two,
yeah.
I think it's going to be between Northwest Cabarrus, J.M. Robinson, and Concord.
Well, yes,
oh, yeah.
I agree with that, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a shocker for me, guys. Broughton, they beat Southeast Raleigh 35-34. I forgot to even mention this game. I did not see Broughton winning this game. That kind of surprised me. I think Southeast Raleigh is down right now. The team a few years back had some pretty good seasons, but they're struggling right now. Here's another one. Ledford beat Lexington 13-7. I saw Ledford play back on September 8th. They played West Davison. They were up 21-0, and they didn't score again, and they barely held on 21-20. Found out after the game that their coach had been arrested or had turned himself in, Coach Adams. I wanted to talk. I will not talk about the issues, but that Ledford team, that happened that night or that day. He turned himself in, and that night they had to go play West Davison. And again, West Davison, they lost tonight 52-0, I believe, or 51-0. The week before, they lost in, by running clock. And, you know, a lot of times kids, they play on emotions, and something bad happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's the apple cart bad. Alan, here's one in your area. West Caldwell beat South Caldwell, the Battle of the Caldwells, 49-43. I can't really get my hand on West Caldwell. I think they're really struggling this year. I think
I agree. Their defense is giving up easy points. They gave up a lot of points to, I believe, Ashe County that is winless. South Caldwell, they give up 42 against a winless 4A team. I'm not surprised. It was close. I actually had Wes Caldwell only winning it, I believe, by 7, if I'm not mistaken, in my picks last night. So I, it wasn't a shocker to me it was that close. I was surprised how many points each team scored. That was the main shocker
right.
to me.
Down in Wilkes County, Wilkes Central beats North Wilkes 36-20. St. Stephens, they beat McDowell County 19-17. McDowell, that's a hard place to win football games. Back
actually,
in the day
I believe
when they
it was played at St. Stephens. Yeah, because it was St. Stephens homecomings. Yeah.
Okay. I was talking more about the McDowell, this hard place to
yeah.
It's a hard place for a McDowell has struggled for many years in football.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I meant to say. It's getting late here. I'm starting
to worry.
I think Northeast Guilford beat Northern Guilford 10-6. Max Preps did not show that final score. Hunter House all over Burns 48-21. Going down here, Terry Sanford over Grace Creek 48-15. Of course, Fred T. Ford beat Bunker Hill 32-6.
Not a surprise.
Yep. Wheatmore, the Tweed of Wheat, they beat Trinity 21-18. Wheatmore was on a pretty good roll until they had to play Randleman, and Randleman just cleaned their clock. I think it was 35-7 last week. The Wheatmore, they're now. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think are they 6-1 now?
I believe.
Well, I think they were
Maiden 6-0, so they're probably about 5-1. 5-1 or
6-0.
5-1 or yeah.
I think they're 6-1
5
now.
And
1
or
4
and
1. They started out 5-0. Won their five.
Okay, so
they
are 6-1. They've not had
yeah,
their bye week.
Yeah, they're 6-1 now. They have not yet. No, they play in
yeah.
a 7-team conference.
So that guarantees a winning record for that program, first time in history, I believe.
I believe you're right.
Yeah, because I remember a couple weeks ago, I believe Fred was saying that.
Here's a rivalry. This is the battle for Thomasville. There's actually three teams in Thomasville. There's Ledford, Thomasville, and East Davison. East Davison and Thomasville played. East Davison wins 17-13. Thomasville used to be a very proud program, and they're down right now. Here's a battle in Lincoln County. East Lincoln beats Lincolnton 12-7.
Yeah.
Lincolnton is struggling.
Really
East Lincoln's
year.
Both of them. You know, go back a couple years ago.
Now is 1-5.
That's unbelievable. It's hard to believe that.
I know.
Looking down a little bit on the list here, see if there's anything else that got about a minute and a half left. Southern Guilford beats Williams 33-18. That's a bit of a surprise to me.
Mm-hmm.
E. Smith over Westover 61-25. E. Smith might go in my 3A. In community school at Davison, they beat Cherryville 34-33. And here's one that surprised me. Goldsboro beats James Keenan 31-23. So, That's kind of a shocker to me. But that's pretty much it, guys. Gary, thank you so much for calling in. I hope we can talk again later on, man.
Thank you for having me on. I enjoyed it.
I appreciate it. And, Alan, like always, you've been my partner in crime for most of the season. And I appreciate it, man. Alan Drum, he's a great fella. He has been with us as a correspondent just like maybe the week two or week three of the season. We appreciate all of his his help. But for all the guys at Carolina Varsity, from me, Gary, Alan Drum, from Dale Ross to Matt Mara, to our guy Daniel Burleson, who's recovering down in Everett's, North Carolina. That's over in Martin County. Hope the best for him. From Fred Galey, from Derek Miller, from Jeff Miller, all these guys here, Anthony Perkins, so many guys to think of. I know I'm leaving somebody out, but from all of us, thank you so much for listening, and we hope you have a great night. Take care.
Bye-bye.